Last year, I saw an interview with a young woman who was a Syrian refugee. She was being asked how she felt about being in Canada, even though she had suffered staggering loss of family members, friends, home, and a life she loved. Even though she had come to a new place, she had to learn a new language, learn new ways of doing things, find new friends. Even though she had suffered the violence and violation that happens to people in time of war and in refugee camps where people are vulnerable to being preyed upon. In spite of all this and more, the only thing she wanted to emphasize was gratitude. Gratitude for Canada opening its doors to her and people like her. Gratitude for all the opportunities being afforded her. Gratitude that she had a chance at a new life. Gratitude. Her purpose now was to make something of her life here in Canada and give something back. She was passionate, she was emotional, and she was articulate about it all. Gratitude. How grateful are we? I know we talk about gratitude a lot. We even have one of our prayers every Sunday, a prayer of thanksgiving. Study after study is coming out on the health benefits of expressing gratitude and feeling thankful. Thanksgiving, it makes us feel good, and it makes others feel good too when we thank them. It adds years to our life, we're told, and it gives quality to our life. So why is gratitude something we often have to think about? Why is it something that we often need to be reminded to do? Why is it something we have to be disciplined about? Gratitude should be natural and easy for us, but it's not. Why? Well, there are at least two kinds of reasons why we have trouble being thankful and expressing gratitude regularly. Two kinds of reasons, at least. And to find out what these reasons are, let's look more closely at our scripture readings. First, our gospel. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He is approached by 10 lepers. Now, leprosy was not only a disease that was really disgusting to behold, but many people also believed it was contagious. Now, this was a convenient belief because it meant you didn't have to get too close to lepers. You know, the disease, it made people smell bad, it caused people's flesh to rot. It was repulsive. Not knowing the cause of it made people afraid of it. And many people dealt with that fear by blaming lepers themselves. They must have done something to contract the disease. It's so awful. It must be their lifestyle, maybe their sins, something about them or their family that made them cursed. And because it was contagious or believed to be contagious, you could justify staying away from lepers without feeling guilty for your lack of compassion and your unwillingness to befriend and comfort them. Now, isn't this the case today? I mean, in the 1980s and 90s, in fact, HIV was compared as the modern-day leprosy, as a way of judging people, whatever it is, their lifestyle or whatever else, reasons to kind of, because it was such a scary disease. But even today, since then, whether it's dementia, cancer, heart disease, take your pick. We always wonder, you know, whether the person has done something to contribute to their disease, their lifestyle, or whatever, or whether it's in the genes of their parents or their grandparents, something or someone has to be blamed. We need to have some knowledge as to why, so that we can feel some control over things that scare us. So we come up with theories and justifications, and all of it can be very uncaring and dismissive. The truth is that so many terrible things can happen to any one of us at any time, and there's often no rhyme or reason to it. We are vulnerable. That's who we are as human beings. Among other things, we are profoundly vulnerable. We're not in control all too often. So how do we deal with that kind of fear, that kind of reality? How do we deal with that? Do we move in the way of compassion, or do we stay back and we blame? Do we reach out with care or concern, or shut ourselves off from the vulnerability we too share with others? Well, Jesus, he moves in the way of compassion, incredibly so. He allows the lepers to approach him. He pays attention to them. His love sends healing rays towards them. He tells them to go show themselves to the priest. The priest had the authority to declare someone healed and clean. Once declared clean, they could then return to their families and to society and to normal life again. Whatever the damage the disease will have done would be stopped. Life could be good again. So doesn't it make sense that all 10 lepers would return to thank Jesus? Of course it would. But incredibly, sadly, shockingly, only one returns. And the one who returns isn't even a fellow Jew like Jesus. Think about this story. Jesus is a Jew. His story is told from the perspective of Jews, and this person is a Samaritan or a foreigner. I mean, Jesus is mouthing what other people there would be thinking. He's a foreigner. Think about some of the ideas out there now in terms of governments being elected and their approach to immigration and others. So he's a Samaritan, he's a foreigner. Jews and Samaritans, not only do they not get along, they're enemies, this centuries-old feud. Leprosy may have brought him together with the other 9 in common cause, but now that they're healed, they part ways. This Samaritan, though, he hasn't forgotten that Jesus, what Jesus has done for him. He's given him back his life. He will never forget that. And so he comes back. He prostrates himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanks him profusely. Now, Jesus is as shocked as we are. We're not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? None was found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner. Well, it is a surprise, and it isn't a surprise. Just like the story I started the sermon with, often people who are outsiders appreciate things in a way that insiders just don't. Why? Well, we begin to take things for granted. We develop feelings of entitlement. It's my right. You owe me. I've earned it. I deserve it. Why should I be thankful for something that should be mine anyway? I've worked for it. So here we have one of the big obstacles to gratitude: entitlement and the feeling that we have earned, deserved, and it's our right to have everything we do. Not only is this an obstacle to gratitude, but it is an obstacle to relationships of mutual giving and sharing, a big obstacle. Gratitude recognizes that people don't owe us what they give us. It's a gift. People don't have to care, and they don't have to serve, and they don't have to do what they do. The fact that we are born where we are born and given the opportunities we're given, the fact that we are alive, the fact that we have the support and love and resources we do, all of it is a gift. It could easily be otherwise. Gratitude should be the beginning and the end of every day we are alive. So why isn't it? Why isn't it? Well, entitlement is one big reason. But is entitlement and all those feelings that we are owed the only reason? No. No, there's another obstacle to gratitude that in some ways could be even more sinister and poisonous. The second obstacle to gratitude is there in the background of our gospel story, but it's also there in our second reading from our Older Testament. In our reading from Jeremiah, the people of Israel, they've suffered terribly. They've been forced to move from their homeland and to live in other places, foreign places. They've lost a lot. It's like refugees who are forced to flee to save themselves and their families because of war or hardship. So do they just settle down in temporary terms until there's an opportunity for return? How can they ever feel at home in a foreign place? But Jeremiah gives them a new word from the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where you have been in exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. It was easy for Jews in exile to focus on all that was wrong with life, all that was unfair, all that was wrong with the world. They could feel sorry for themselves, they could feel miserable, they could feel this guttural envy for the way others had it so much better. They could focus on the half of the glass that was empty and totally miss the possibilities available for them. They could be stuck in their complaining, their needs, their blaming, their resistance to making a positive go of it and building positive new relationships. And this, my friends, this is a second and even at times more sinister obstacle to gratitude and thinking about our world today. Self-pity, resentment, envy. We can get so stuck with everything that's wrong from our point of view that we shut ourselves off from the many ways we can be part of a journey of making things right, right for ourselves, for others, of finding ways to celebrate and experiencing pleasure in life. Gratitude undermines entitlement and the presumption that we're owed. Gratitude also undermines the self-pity and resentment we can get stuck in. Gratitude opens up faith and hope in us, faith and hope, so that we see possibility and opportunity everywhere. Gratitude opens up us up to compassion, compassionate, being compassionate toward others, because we can actually pay attention to them. We can get out of ourselves and pay attention to them. And in reaching out in compassion, we can find fulfillment and joy in ourselves. That's the way it works. You know, we extend ourselves outward and we receive things in ourselves we can never just feed ourselves with. Gratitude opens up us up to be generous and open to others, to build positive relationships and friendships. We appreciate other people instead of taking them for granted. We receive from them as much as we give to them, and we are happy to say thank you over and over again, experiencing what we receive as a gift. So why is gratitude a challenge for us at times? Are we prone to the sin of entitlement, that we are somehow owed that it is our right? Are we prone to the sin of self-pity or resentment or envy, where we are stuck on everything that's wrong, so much so that we cannot open ourselves to experiencing everything that is also right? We need to pray hard for God's gracious love to open our hearts to gratitude daily, lest we live out our lives with shrunken souls and miserable hearts and miss out on all that's possible. Gratitude is a state of heart and mind. The more dependent it is on what happens to us on the outside, if everything goes well, I'll be grateful. If not, I'll be miserable. The more it depends on what happens on the outside, the less it will be something solid that lives in us regardless of what happens on the outside. 10 lepers are made clean, but only one returns to say thank you. All 10 lepers experienced healing on the outside, exactly the same. But only one leper had gratitude rise up and live in his heart. The people of Jeremiah's prophecy have been forced into exile, living in a foreign place. A lot has been taken away from them. Will they find a way to embrace the life they now have and make the best of it? Will they find their way to gratitude? Or will they fall into a pit of self-pity or resentment or envy of how much better others have it? Well, what about you and me? What about you and me? Let us pray. Find us wherever we are, O God. Find us in our false sense of entitlement. Find us in our self-pity, our resentment, or even our envy of others and how much better they have it than we. Change our hearts, inspire our minds, fill us with fresh gratitude so that we can bless the world and be blessed anew ourselves. Amen.